To John's Gospel, chapter 21, John 21. We have here an amazing account of the risen Lord Jesus meeting with his disciples. Peter has gone a-fishing. He has taken a number of others out in the boat. They have been fishing all night. They caught absolutely nothing. And then they heard a voice of one on the shore saying, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship." And so they did. And as you know, the fish just came pouring into the net, 153 great fish, and to the point where the vessel would almost sink. At that point, it was John, the apostle, who whispered to Peter and said, "It is the Lord." And at that, Peter jumped overboard, put his coat on, splashed his way onto shore, and ran to meet the Savior. But he was in for the interview of his life. Indeed, we could say the interview that changed his life. And as we read here in chapter 21, verse 15, it says, "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest that all things, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep." We'll end our reading right there. This communion table is a call to demonstrate our love for the Lord Jesus. The Christian's love is the right hand of faith. If we are believers, there will automatically be a deep-seated love in our hearts for the name of Jesus. I'm sure you can remember that immediately after you were converted, that name took on a whole new meaning. It took on a sweetness and an attraction that drew your heart to seek after and know the Lord more and more. Christianity is a call to love. It is not a religion of guilt or fear, but it is based on the love of the Lord Jesus stirred within our souls, and that we truly do delight in him. Now, in this chapter and in this incident, Peter's love was under the microscope. And so shall ours as we come to the table, because the Lord would say to us, "Lovest thou me?" As we take that cup and bread today, that's really the pertinent question. And it is very relevant because we come to a Christian church, we come to worship the Lord God through Christ the Son, and we claim that we are washed in his blood and saved by his grace. Therefore, it is unthinkable that we would take the cup and bread and have hatred in our hearts to the Lord, or that we would have neutrality and just say, "Oh, take it or leave it. I don't care what you do with Jesus." No, there ought to be in our hearts a deep interest and a loyalty stirred within us that fires up our souls to demonstrate and show, yes, we do want to love and serve the Lord Jesus. Now, to Peter, there was a twist to the question, because the Lord didn't just say, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lovest thou me more than these?" The "these," I've come to understand, is the other disciples. And this dug right deep into the situation where Peter, before the Lord's death on the cross, had boasted. and said that if others deny thee, I will never. If others refuse to die for you, I will. But of course, we know how that fell flat, and all of Peter's boastings on that night when fear, the fear of a little maiden, swished through his heart, and he denied the Lord. And every time that cock crowed, the arrow of guilt shot through Peter till he was greatly reduced to tears. And so it really is a marvel of grace that Peter is here at all with these other disciples and the Lord is interviewing him. I think many, if they had denied the Lord as Peter did, they would want to find the deepest hole and fall into it in shame and disgrace. I know that Peter went a fishing and a man's got to eat, and that was his whole way of life, and some might suggest that he had given up on discipleship for Jesus and gone back to the old life. But he was there, and when the Lord appeared, he was the first out of the boat. He was a man who, when he heard it was Jesus, it stirred something within him. And it wasn't just cowing down and, well, I'll hide under the net here till this is over. No, he wanted to go to the Lord, and he wanted to face up to all that he needed, and he did. And so this question, this interview of the Lord, when he said to Peter, "Lovest thou me more than these?" addressed his own sin and his own failure. He had boasted, and he had fallen. He had fallen into pride, and now he was really Peter the denier. What a terrible label to be stuck with. And of course, what were the other disciples thinking? I'm sure there was their inner thoughts and saying, I really want to see what the Lord's going to do with Peter now. And is he going to get the big stick out and beat him up? Is he going to trash him with cruel, hot words and leave Peter smarting forever? How's this going to play out? And so when the Lord appeared and called Peter, well, the Lord really had a heart-to-heart with him. And while the question was a very painful one, it really was to burst the heinous abscess that was festering in Peter's heart, that he might be relieved from the shame and the guilt of it all. There is no doubt that Peter loved the Lord Jesus, and Jesus knew it. He didn't say to Peter, "Do you love me at all?" No. "But do you love me more than these?" And that was the big question. And you know, this is why we love Peter. This is why to every Bible reader and every earnest Christian, Peter is our hero. Because we see ourselves in the mirror with Peter. We see the times when our own cowardice needs to be dealt with. And our own impetuosity, times we're bursting with zeal and other times we're falling flat. And of course, who here today has not shut off their big mouth and said things that they never lived up to? And we boast, but sadly, we fail. Of all the apostles, when we read about Peter, he brings cheer and hope because the Lord dealt with him very graciously and the Lord obviously restored him to service. Now, you'll notice that the Lord was dealing with Peter publicly in front of the other disciples because they needed to be witnesses to this pastoral treatment of Peter who was hurting. And they needed to witness his restoration. And so the Lord got started, and he lovingly, graciously dealt with Peter. Now that strikes home to us today on this communion table. The Lord would challenge us about our love for him. that really has to come to the fore. Who would dare make a profession of some form of discipleship or allegiance to the Lord Jesus, taking the cup and bread, but in your heart there is nothing but emptiness, foolishness, or even hatred of Jesus, the Son of God? We know that the worldly man hates Christ. We know that by nature we too once did even take the Lord's name in vain. We had ugly thoughts about him, and we are guilty of denying him. But now that we are believers, now that we come to communion, the issue is, do we now love the Lord Jesus? I notice here, firstly, the Lord recognizes true love for him. That's something the Lord does right away. There's an interesting conversation going on here between the Lord and Peter. And it's not, Peter, what works have you done? What's your heritage? Who's your mom and dad? What nationality are you? No, it's about what's in your heart. Do you love me? Lovest thou me? And three times the Lord pressed this issue on Peter. You'll see it there in verse 15, verse 16, and again in verse 17. And each time Peter responded with this statement, thou knowest. Oh, Peter knew the Lord well enough that the Lord was asking a rhetorical question, a question he knew all the answer to. And Peter, after his prior boasting and his failure, was now not going to brag again. He was not going to shoot off his mouth and say, oh, yes, Lord. But he allowed the Lord to search the heart. He allowed the Lord to really come up with the answer. And this was indeed a very proper answer, thou knowest. The Lord knows our hearts, of course, because of his omniscient eye. Being God in the flesh, he knows all things. That really was the final answer of Peter, thou knowest all things. And so as we prepare our hearts now to come to communion in a few moments' time, we can be absolutely sure that the all-seeing eye of the Lord looks right into our hearts, and he knows what's in there, and he knows the stirring and the issues that are going on in us, and he can determine whether there is any love for him. When you're married for a time, you know your spouse. A husband and wife know each other thinking. You know how they're going to respond to something, you know their attitudes, you know their facial expressions, and you know exactly what the answer would be to a certain question. Now, that comes with familiarity, that comes with friendship and companionship. But just think of how the Lord knows us. If you can't deceive your wife or if you can't deceive your husband over the littlest thing, there's no way you're going to fool the Lord. He knows your heart. And as you take that cup and bread today, he knows exactly what's inside. And he knows the truth. If you do love the Lord Jesus or not. Now, the Lord also recognizes by our actions. By their fruit ye shall know them, the Lord Jesus taught us. Now, it's true that Peter had gone fishing, and there was something in that that perhaps was off track and off course, and the Lord had to intervene on that early morning and get them back into fellowship and back into service again. And I've already told the story of how they wasted it. Every hour was wasted. And there's a great lesson there for us. I could preach a sermon on it, that every hour without the Lord is wasted. And whatever you're doing without the Lord in your life, They will be wasted hours, days, or years. But when the Lord speaks and says, put your net on the right side of the ship and you're following His command, oh, the Lord can demonstrate His power and blessing in a marvelous way. And so in Peter's actions, this was a very pertinent question. Lovest thou me? And then, of course, by our obedience. We'll not take time now, but you read sometime John 15, and it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so the Lord can tell by what we've been doing, even in the last month since our last communion, how we've lived, whether we love Him or love the world. And that's the great test. It's not our short lip service on a communion Sunday. It is our constant walk, the denials that we place upon ourselves that we may guard the name of Jesus, the time we give to worship Him, the time in His Word, the time on our knees, the time in the house of God, our seat filled or empty in God's house. All of those things tell the Lord, lovest thou me? Now, Peter is no role model. We can't say, go and do what Peter did. No, we can't do that. But we take hope of how the Lord dealt with Peter. We as gospel people know that we're justified by faith alone. And I always preach, and I hope I will always preach, we are not justified by works, but by faith alone. I had a lady from the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and she calls me a number of times, but she called me again this week. It seems every time I preach on radio anything about the Ten Commandments, she's on to me. And she was saying, you know, we've got to keep the Saturday Sabbath. That's one of the commandments. And if we don't keep the commandments, then we have the mark of the beast upon us. And I have before dealt with the whole issue of why we worship on the resurrection day, the first day of the week. Sunday is the typical day the New Testament disciples worshiped in the book of Acts and in the epistles. They met on the first day of the week. Jesus appeared on the first day of the week over and over. But the point I wanted to make to this lady was, you are not saved by works at all. You're saved by faith alone. But could I get her to say those words, faith alone? She would say she's justified. She would say she's justified by faith, but she would not say alone. And I said, dear, you are just like Roman Catholics who take the exact same position. They speak of Christ. They speak of His sacrifice. They speak of faith, but they will not say that they are justified by faith alone. Now, once you are justified, you will want to work because it's a living faith and it's a faith that goes to work. But we're not working to be justified. We desire to work and honor the Lord because He has already declared us righteous by the pardoning power of His blood. And here is Peter. And He's saying, Peter, what are you doing that shows your love for me? And He knows by our obedience. The Lord recognizes our true love, of course, by our total character. There's a little play on words here. If you go back to verse 15, you'll notice how the Lord Jesus addressed Peter, and He saith to Simon Peter, and if you do have one of those red letter Bibles, this will really help you. Because you'll notice the first word that Jesus spoke to Peter was the word Simon. Simon. Now, that was his old name. The Lord had changed his name from Peter. Thou shalt no more be Simon, but Peter, Petrus. And the Lord had changed his name when He made him an apostle. But now He addresses him as Simon, son of Jonas. Oh, the Lord was really putting the knife in here. because in Peter's betrayal or denial, he had really shown his old man-based carnal fear and had denied the Lord. And that now was his reputation. He was Peter the denier. Simon, the old Simon again. What kind of reputation do you and I have? The Lord knows us by our complete character, by how we are named. Are we the new man in Christ? Are we the new creature where old things have passed away and all things have become new? Or are we the same old John Brown as ever before? The same old person. Nothing has really changed. Guilt-ridden, motivated by the fear of man rather than love for Christ. And so the Lord knows. Now, obviously, today we want to have the character reference of one who is deeply in love with the Lord Jesus. And as we take the cup and the bread today, that ought to be so. We are known, not just today, but every day of our walk, as one deeply in love with the Lord Jesus. We will do anything for his name, anything for his honor, any sacrifice, any self-denial, that we might declare and demonstrate our love for the Lord Jesus. Will you pray for that? Are you praying that that is your testimony before the world, that others will know you as one that deeply loves the Lord Jesus? We should be aiming for that. We should be striving for that. And if you won't and don't, then how could you take the cup and bread today and say, I love Jesus, but the rest of the month you don't live it? It's very searching, isn't it? And I must say that as I came back to this passage, which to many Christians is a very familiar account, but it has such a personal application. It goes right down into the depths of our own souls and shakes us up of what we really are about. Now, do you love the Lord Jesus with all your heart? And is it your prayer to do so more and more? Now, another point I find here is that a Christian's true love is marked by humble repentance. Humble repentance. How many times does a Christian need to repent? Well, in a sense, our whole new life is one of repentance. And you'll see in verse 17, where the Lord Jesus kept asking Peter, lovest thou me? And it says here that he saith unto him the third time, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved. There was pain in his heart, because he knew what the Lord was alluding to. He got the hint. He got the message. He felt the rebuke. He kept asking. Three times Peter had denied the Lord. Three times now Jesus asked, lovest thou me? You couldn't miss it. And so Peter was grieved. And of course, his denial was no small sin. When that rooster crowed, Peter had cursed and blasphemed the name of Jesus. This was terrible sin. And that, of course, was so offensive to the Lord and to the other disciples and to Peter's own downfall. His boasting had become his shame. And the truth of the Bible, he that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall, comes as a warning to every one of us. Now, if Peter had gone into his temptation in humility, without boasting, that's when that night when he was warming himself at the fire and the little maiden said, art thou one of them? If Peter had gone into that in humility, instead of boasting, I'll never deny the Lord, Well, he might have come out with a song in his heart instead of those hot, bitter tears rolling. And I'm sure it wasn't just an hour. It was a constant life now of deeply grieving over what he had done. Peter was like the preacher who made a fool of himself. He went up into the pulpit boasting that he was the best of all preachers. Well, the Lord humbled him, and things fell apart for him, and he just stuttered and stammered. And someone commented that if he had gone up the way he had come down, he would have come down the way he went up. He would have had the help of the Lord if he had gone humbly to speak in the Lord's name. But now in this incident, when the Lord got to the core of the matter, we notice Peter's humble spirit. And every time the Lord pressed on Peter, "Lovest thou me?" what did Peter say? "Thou knowest." And he said, "Thou knowest that I love thee." And he used a particular word that means human affection. Jesus was asking, "Do you love me with agape love, the love of God?" Peter would not use that term. He used the term for human love. "You know that I have affection, that I have love for you." And in every one of Peter's answers, you can see that humble, repentant spirit. It's like someone asking you today, "Do you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength?" What's your answer? Do you boast and say, "Oh, yes, I love the Lord with all my heart"? No. The godly response to that question is, "I want to. I long to. Would you pray that I love my Lord more? Would you pray that I so live that I will demonstrate more love to Jesus?" That becomes the true response. When we remember our past failures, and as I say, Peter becomes an encourager to us because we've done many times something like what Peter has done. Have there not been times when we felt prompted that we should speak for the Lord Jesus and we let that opportunity go by? And did we ever feel badly about it afterwards? We had a golden opportunity to speak up for the Lord Jesus and we let it go by. We were so controlled by the fear of man and by our own weakness that we didn't say a word. Now, we may not have blasphemed the name of Jesus, Peter did, but still, we are guilty of not demonstrating our love for Jesus. Have there not been times in our homes when we have not prayed with one another and demonstrated our love for Jesus? Let the devotional time slip, and again, it's all the result of our own weakness. Who can boast? Who can tell the story of unfailing love to Jesus? Not one of us. We're all Peters, and we all repent and say, "Lord, you know. You know that inside of me there is an attraction. There is a magnet in my heart that draws me to you. But Lord, I don't love you as I should. I don't delight in you the way I should. Help me." Then when we remember the heights of Christ's love for us, we recognize the weakness of our love. When we describe the love that we have for our Lord Jesus, and then you bring in the backdrop of Calvary and the cross and the nails in the hands of Jesus, and you see the crown of thorns, and you hear the cries, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Has any man loved like this?" Our love for Christ is so minuscule in contrast to the deep, deep love Jesus displayed at the cross. And so with aching hearts and with humble hearts, and yes, we like that man who beat his chest, "Have mercy on me, a sinner." For, Lord, I don't love you the way I should. And we are convicted. Let us do what Peter did, humble ourselves and say, yes, Lord, you know. You know my heart. And Lord, I'll let you have the final word on that. But, oh, Lord, I love you with a little love. And help me to love you more. Then I also see here that a Christian's true love is the basis of faithful service. The Lord went on to say, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, each of those times. And you'll notice something, that they are the Lord's sheep, not Peter's. Feed my lambs, feed my sheep. They are the Lord's sheep, not Peter's. And so we need to tell the Pope that. The Pope thinks that they're all his sheep because he's the successor of Peter, supposedly. It's not true, but that's what they claim. But Peter now was conscripted to care for the Lord's lambs and the Lord's sheep. And so here is a way by which we demonstrate our love for our Lord Jesus. We love his sheep. We love his people. We love those that love the name of Jesus. We love those who claim to be redeemed in the blood of the Lamb. There is an attraction, a burden for the welfare and the care of those very people. Now, Peter now was being restored to this ministry of apostleship, to the care of souls. He was no longer just to be a fisherman or a fisher of men. He was to be a pastor, a shepherd, a carer for the souls of men. And so the other disciples heard this, and they would, in the future, have to overlook Peter's failure and say, here is a man who has shown weakness. Here is a man who's shown some disloyalty to the Lord, and yet he's charged with the care of the sheep. And he's going to do it because of love in his heart. When you and I hear a man or woman say, I love the Lord Jesus, we can overlook all else. We can overlook a lot. When we hear someone say, I love the Lord Jesus. And no doubt in that person there will be failures and shortcomings and even offenses. But we can overlook all of that if they say, I love the Lord Jesus. I do. I don't love him as I ought, but I want to love him more. Without that, if a person will not say, I love the Lord Jesus, even they are like a squeaky clean Pharisee who walk the clean side of the road and keep all the commandments, but they don't love the Lord Jesus, there's no attraction there. There's no interest in being amongst that people. But the redeemed of the Lord, a blood-washed saint, one that has been to Calvary and his now heart is throbbing with delight in the redeeming grace of a Savior. That's my people. In spite of their failures, in spite of their shortcomings, in spite of the hurts that they have caused. Because these sheep are not perfect sheep. These sheep need building up and fed and nurtured. And so Peter now was a Peter pastor. Not just the Peter fisherman or the man of the past. He was Peter the pastor. And now he will work day and night and did that he might care for the sheep. Now this is the ultimate test. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, when ye love one another. Let that be a great test to you today. As you take the cup and bread and so say and profess, I love the Lord Jesus. But do you love the Lord's people? Do you love his church? Do you love the redeemed of God? Is that the delight of your heart? Or are you holding on to old offenses and old issues? How then can the love of God be controlling you? And so let the all-seeing eyes of the Lord search our hearts for your love to your fellow believer, the one sitting right beside you now or behind you. There ought to be a deep desire that they go on with Christ. And the last thing you want to be is a stumbling block to them. You got to love them warts and all. That was an Oliver Cromwell statement, wasn't that right? He had this wart on his face. And people need to be loved warts and all for Jesus' sake. And if our heart is bursting with the love of Christ, we can do it. We can do it. We can get over the hurts. And we can love to a measure of Jesus' love. How can you feed lambs if you don't love them? How can you feed sheep if you don't love them? In Matthew 25, the Lord Jesus spoke of this. He said, "The king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me." And so Christ sees our interactions and the caring spirit, the love that we show and express to his redeemed people, that he might bless us more and more. Now think on this, a closing word, because it is communion, I must soon stop. A closing word. In this event of Jesus' interview with Peter, when he dealt with all these issues, between the event of Peter's denial of his Lord and this restoration is the event of the cross. If there had not been the event of Calvary in between Peter's denial and the Lord's interview with him, would there have been any resolution? What was the solution? The cross. Christ died and has died for our sins. And even the sins of denial, even the sins of our weaknesses, are under the blood of the Lord Jesus. And as we take the cup and the bread, we're coming to the cross. We're coming to confess, Lord, I love you, but I'm weak and I'm in need of grace. But Lord, I'm coming to the cross. I'm looking unto the blood of Jesus today when I take that cup and bread. And that's the right place to go. There's nowhere else to get healing for your heart. There's nowhere else to get restored. This is how Peter was restored, because Jesus went to the cross and died for him. And if you read Peter's letters, you will find that he majored on it so much, that Christ died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. The substitutionary death of Jesus in the place of his people was very much Peter's theme in his epistles. And of course, we can be forgiven much. We can forgive much because we are forgiven much. And when we think of the little hurts we have and the needs to forgive and contrast it with Christ at the cross and what he bore for us, doesn't even compare. If we do not forgive our fellow believers, shall the Lord forgive us? There's a lot in this that searches my heart. As I came to this passage, I have to almost do a whole reset of why I profess faith in Christ, why I serve him, why I want to worship him, why I want to preach his gospel. Lovest thou me? Feed my lambs, feed my sheep. And there's a lot here to get us back up on our feet and get on with serving the Lord with all our hearts. Will you do it? Did Jesus do enough for you? Will you do it? Let's pray for grace to do it.